Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Indigenous communities benefit from student-run dental clinic enhancing oral health. Research conducted by the University of Queensland has shown dental clinic managed by students in rural Queensland has significantly enhanced the oral health of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community members. So with that, I'm going to catch up with Yarn now, Dr. Sandra March, representative from UQ's School of Dentistry. And on the line, we have Dr. Sandra. Good morning, Dr. Sandra. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Trevor. Good morning to everyone.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you're based in Brisbane, yes?
Yes.
Fantastic. Indeed. Lovely. Look, this is fantastic. A great opportunity for students in the dentistry world, but also working with communities and, kicking goals, I would say. Yes?
Yes, we feel really that it's a win-win situation all around. We've known for a long time that students benefit from these clinical outplacements, as we call it, where they go and work off campus and hone their skills. But what we set out to do with our research was to see what benefits to the community there were, and, you know, looking at economic benefits and social benefits, sort of just to have some actual proof to sort of back up the assumptions we'd made that we were kind of being helpful. Well, yes, it's...
And look, a lot of our mob and community have, struggle street in regarding getting to dental health because they live out in the communities. So bringing the mountain to the people, as I would say.
That's the big thing, really, is improving access for the community. And we feel that's so very important part of this is the partnership between the university and with the Gundia Health Services.
A big shout out, Gundia, big shout out.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes,
yep.
For Southwest Queensland. Mm. So Gundia is very proactive in their sort of holistic way of looking at health.
Yes.
And they include oral health sort of assessments in their general checkups, medical checkups.
Yes.
And having the dental clinic upstairs in the same building means that, you know, if people get a referral, it's really easy to go and book.
Yeah.
It's easy to get your dental treatment at the same time as you're seeing the doctor or the diabetes support group going to the pharmacy. So,
and there'd be numbers would be pretty high regarding patients.
Improve the oral health, but improve the awareness of people, of community, in the need, you know, the importance of oral health in their general health too.
Yes. Dr. Sandra, can you hear me there? Now I've lost Dr. Sandra March. We'll try and get it back, continue that conversation. So very important. Dr. Sandra March talking about the students, dental students, who are going to First Nation communities and working closely with Gundia Health Service, big shout out, Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service in Queensland, Southern Queensland, and having over 800 Indigenous patients from Dalby and the Greater Western Downs region, which is fantastic. So virtually killing two birds, one stone. Students are active in regard to their profession as they study, but also providing oral health care for our mob out in communities. We'll try and get Dr. Sandra March back. She represents representative from UQ, University of Queensland School of Dentistry. So, Dr. Sandra, thank you. Lost you there, got you back. So it's a two-way street, fantastic for the students, but fantastic for our mob working out, who living out on country and sometimes hard to get in. So, like I said, we mentioned Gundiya Health Service, big shout-out to them, Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service, and working with University of Queensland School of Dentistry. The students, are they First Nation?
We do have a few. We would like many more First Nation students.
Yes.
You know, I think the university as a whole is trying to encourage more First Nations people to be involved.
Mm.
In fact, many of our students are actually international.
Okay.
We find it's interesting because, you know, countries they come from, and particularly we have students coming from Canada where, you know, relating and communicating with Indigenous folk is really important for, equally important for them.
Exactly.
For, you know, Australian students. But on the whole, I think there's a push to try and increase the oral health and health workforce in rural areas. And that's why programs such as ours are actually funded, you know, by the federal government to try and increase the interest in people, you know, the idea being if you spend some time in community, then you're perhaps more likely to actually, when you graduate, go and work there too. You know,
exactly, yeah, it gives them that platform, doesn't it?
That's right, greater awareness of the needs of people and the fact that living in the country, in rural areas, is actually quite desirable a lot of the time.
Yeah, too. Fantastic. So with the students going out there, how long has this been running for, Doctor?
We actually set the first clinic up in 2013, so nearly 10 years now.
10 years, good.
By the end of this year, we'll have had I think 180 of our students over the years will have attended a placement.
Yes.
The placements run for sort of 8 to 10 weeks there, so to give them a good chance to actually get to know the patients,
you know,
so that the clients aren't always seeing someone different.
Yeah, that's true too.
And sort of getting treatment done.
Mm.
But there's a second clinic opened in St George, a little bit more remote, in 2017. And that clinic's sort of gone gangbusters as well, It's been, both of the clinics have been very well accepted by community.
Well, if you look at it, it should be templated across the country. This is a fantastic concept.
Well, I think so, yes. I think it is. You know, that's one of the reasons we were trying to sort of get the word out as much as possible. I know for dentistry particularly, it's difficult because of the fact that you've got to have the chair and all of the setup. It's very expensive to actually do dental clinics. But we kind of feel that the other allied health services, where perhaps the infrastructure doesn't cost as much, they're equally sort of easily integrated into these programs with the community health services.
Yes,
and it's so important to have that sort of input from both sides. I think
exactly.
You know, the partnership is the key.
Yeah, and partnership is so very important
to success, really, and sort of a win-win for everyone.
Exactly.
We've certainly discovered, looking at the figures of patients that attended the Queensland Health Government Clinic in Dalby, which is a separate clinic altogether, the waiting lists there have decreased noticeably since the student clinic set up.
Fantastic.
Now you think, well, that makes sense.
It does.
It should work that way, but it's just really nice to get confirmation that it actually has benefited the community as a whole through there, and you know, that kind of puts an extra win into the situation too.
So proven success.
So we're really proud of the way this clinic has worked out. And couldn't have done it without the Gundjia folk.
Yes, exactly. Team effort.
The fact that the Gundjia people feel it's their mob.
Yeah, their mob, exactly.
Running the clinic. You know, it's their place.
Exactly. And they're providing
that
the service.
Has really opened up the access so much more that people come from several hundred kilometres away to actually attend the clinic.
So it's Dr. Sandra there, Dr. Sandra March, represented from UQ's School of Dentistry. Fantastic proven success it is, and having dental students going to First Nation Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities and working closely with the mob there, and having Aboriginal Community Control Health Service at the table as well. In this case, Gundjia Health Service. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
Thank you. G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
What's this I hear going on around town? The people that say you're gonna put the kid down. Oh, no, no. Look at what you did. You can call it what you wanna. I call it messing with the kid.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saber calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Child Advocacy Group, response to Queensland youth crime changes. Child advocacy and support organisation Shine for Kids has expressed concern over the Queensland government's move to allow police watch houses and adult prisons to be used as youth detention centres. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with CEO Shine for Kids, Julie Harrigan, and also from Townsville as well, Townsville Practice Manager from Shine for Kids. That's Cilla Anderson on the line. Good morning, ladies. How are we?
Good morning, Trevor. It's Julie, and Julie? I'm in Sydney this morning, and I'm very well.
Okay, lovely. Thank you.
Good morning, Trevor. This is Cilla. I'm in Townsville, and, yeah, beautiful weather.
Beautiful weather, that's right. Townsville. Yeah, warmer than Sydney. Sorry, Julie. We'll say that.
Thank you for pointing that out.
All right, let's talk about this, very important conversation in child advocacy groups, response to Queensland youth crime changes. So Shine for Kids, Julie is the CEO, and Townsville Practice Manager in Townsville, Cilla. Of course, ladies, you're not happy with this decision, yes?
We're outraged by it, Trevor. We know that youth crime is a really serious issue in Queensland at the moment, but locking children up will not make people feel safe, it won't make them be safe, and it does nothing to reduce crime.
You reckon it feels like it creates a revolving door? Kids go in jail, they come out, then they'll go back in and that sort of stuff?
Absolutely. We know from research that Shine for Kids has done that for most of these kids, if they have a parent in prison, they are six times more likely to end up in prison themselves. And we know that putting these young people into prison is not going to set them up for success. It is just going to put them in a situation where it affects their health, their mental health, their education. It disrupts everything that we need to be doing to be setting these young people up for success. We are setting them on a path to absolute failure.
What do you suggest, if not this?
Sorry, Trevor. We have we believe that early intervention or even support before it gets to that extreme is vital.
Yes,
and it's not just for our young ones. It's for everybody, for the entire family unit as well. Having those wraparound supports around the young person, but also looking at why are they doing that. So that's where wraparound supports come around the family as well.
Well, look at it, I'm just saying that it costs about $100,000 plus to have one person in jail for 12 months. I mean, that money could be used for investing into that child or that children we're talking here in regard to their vision for their future, whether it be psychologists, motivational speakers, life coach, whatever the case may be. That money could be spent elsewhere.
Absolutely. It costs an extraordinary amount of money to keep a young person in prison, and that money could be better spent on doing everything we could to keep them out of prison. If we were giving these families $100,000 a year, the difference that we could make, not just for that one young person, but for that entire family unit, would be extraordinary. It makes no economic sense for this government to be going down this path.
And you can see why constituents are upset in regarding youth crime, because we are talking, in some cases, fatality for innocent people, and that's got to be heart-wrenching.
Yeah, it is. I've personally even been, I've had my home broken into myself. It's a violation. Mm. You feel violated. It is. It's very heartbreaking, and it's very, nerve-wracking. You don't know what to do or what not to do, and it's just you're always watching over your shoulder. So, yeah, it's definitely, it is scary. It is scary.
And, Trevor, we're not saying that young people who commit serious crime shouldn't have consequences.
Sure.
Of course they should.
Yes.
But it cannot be a blanket knee-jerk response from government that just goes out of its way to be locking up young people.
Yes. So with the so-called... Child Advocacy Group, well, the Queensland Youth Crime Changes, has that been confirmed as of yet?
They have. The government has rushed legislation through. They didn't consult with any of the experts in the sector that is working with these young people. And it's absolutely a response to grab headlines, and we shouldn't be focused on just grabbing headlines. We should be focused on the best well-being and social outcomes for kids.
So when does this actual youth crime changes, when does this come into play?
The government's ramming legislation through. They want this to start immediately so that they can hold themselves out as being tough on crime. What we're saying is the government needs to stop, they need to go back to the drawing board, and they need to change the legislation so they do not go down this road.
Or have everybody at the table to discuss it. Seems like they're not discussing it. They're making a decision.
They're not discussing it with anybody. And what is incredibly outrageous for an organisation like Shine for Kids is in Queensland, Aboriginal kids only make up 5% of the child population.
Sure.
But they make up nearly two-thirds of the youth prison population.
Yes, yes.
So by driving these rushed and ridiculous changes to the law through, we know that Aboriginal kids are going to be targeted, they're going to be disproportionately affected, and it's not okay. We need community at the table to be talking about the solutions that they know will work to keep children and young families safe and together.
And Julie, bringing those numbers up, when you're talking about First Nation, well, there's not even communication in regards to the elders or the traditional owner groups and what they got in mind for helping these young ones. So there's no conversation going on there.
No, none at all.
So we need to have that conversation back to the table and yarn before the decision becomes law as such. I'm hearing what you're saying, Julie and Scylla. Thank you so very much. Shine for Kids, it puts a hole in the fence kind of thing for Shine for Kids, if you look at it.
It does. It's creating a demand for services that no one can respond to.
Yes.
And again, with that $100,000 for every young person that's being locked up, we could change the life in a positive way.
Yes.
for children and families across Queensland.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Trevor, here in council, we run programs that try to help. Both in custody for adults and now for the young people. We've got a new program here in Townsville, the Standards 1 program, which will be a mentoring program to help guide the young people from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Working together to see how we can change those outcomes for them once they're released.
Yes.
But we also deliver a parenting program and play group in the women's prison here in Townsville. We've done a pilot parenting program in the men's program prison here.
Yes.
And that was really, really well received. But, unfortunately, there's no government commitment to fund any programs. Our parenting program that's run out there is it's a accredited program.
Yep.
And it shows parents, not saying that you're a good or a bad parent, but it gives you different skills and gives you, you talk about brain development and the effects that what you're doing, how it harms children and things like that. But I always say to people, if mum and dad, if dad is the problem in a family home, like domestic violence and things like that, we need to be able to give him the appropriate tools too. Because, we know a lot of dads that go into jail and come back out, even if there's DV orders in place, they still go back to the family unit. So we need to be able to teach dad. It's a whole thing.
Well, that $100,000 for a child to be in jail, that could be used there for that family unit, for an organisation like Shine for Kids to put money towards the individual youth we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. Yeah. And, kids always look up to dad.
Exactly.
And, they always want their dads around, whether they're a good person or not, but they will always look for their dad. So, giving dads those tools as well to be able to help support the children. But, it stems from the get-go when parents are sentenced to go into prison. There's nobody there to support the kids either.
Sure.
When they finish at court and stuff, we don't know where these kids are going. Mm. A lot of grandparents are stepping up now. So we're working with one mum in particular, she thinks she might be going through, so we've put plans in place, what's going to happen to her little one if she goes in. We're helping support with all of that. These kids just get pushed away or just displaced.
Exactly. And look, we're talking about sick people here, and sick people need help. So youth are confused with life and no foundation for life. So we need to give them foundation is what I'm picking up.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
I'm not saying we're the experts, but we certainly want to be part of the solution as well.
Exactly.
With all of it.
Okay, Julie and Scylla, thank you so very much. A good yarn, a very important yarn. And, speaking here at National Talk Black, putting your voice to this conversation, very important conversation, and in regard to the response, the Queensland youth crime changes. So thank you very much, Julie and Scylla. You take care. Keep smiling. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Trevor.
Right. Thanks, Trevor.
Bye, girls.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. That's Julie Hurrigan, Shine for Kids CEO based in Sydney, and also Townsville Practice Manager for Shine for Kids in Townsville, Scylla Anderson. A great talk, a great conversation, and look, very important after a fast change in regard to crime changes, laws in Queensland, and their response to that. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, Too Deadly, National Tall Black, 1-800-422-416.
Music is the medicine. These beats got us out of control. Dance around like you never get old. Breaking and popping on my boys, pop locking. Got us feeling like we out of this world. Drink your mask, get the young one, ball, like a goring, a lego. Go, Mariana, to Mariana. No, but me, use the monthly beat. Could you mark only me till you cry? Go hard, never lay back, lay back. Too real, can't fake that, fake that. Smile for the gram, like take that, take that. Shout out to the audience, like way back, way back. You got stage fright? No problem. You got neck brace? No problem. You got two left feet, can't catch that beat. Take a deep breath, cause I got this, yo. No problem, you got two left feet, can't catch that beat, take a deep breath, cause I got this, yo.
Free your mind. If you're driven for the vision, then I'm down to ride. Where the beat drop, there me you'll find. And we still in the city, but the crowd going wild. Yeah, keep it banging through the system. Light it up, start it up like an engine. Bars on lock, but the music freedom. And the booty drum go for up a bum bum. Hey, okay, yeah, come. I give you some of this, make it jump. Do it just to do it, and I do it till it's done. Connect with the sound, people over income. That's team, that's squad, get the picture. That's us, that's mob. If you with us, just be, yeah, the queen is in the building. You better come correct. If you're knocking at the kingdom, yeah.
Okay, is it with us? Yeah, okay, is it with us?
Jazz B, yeah, the queen is in the building. You better come correct if you're knocking at the kingdom.
Cowboy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yeah, I, oh-oh, telling you. Yeah, I. Whoa-oh.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver call and send that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, ACU holds special graduation for inspiring student. One of the students is Jade MacLear, who was in a coma following a horrific car accident when her distraught parents, Karen and Zach, received her degree on her behalf last year. And we have Jade and Karen, mother, on the line. Very good morning, ladies. How are we?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Jade, before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, sister?
I'm from Melbourne, and I'm from Mindroot.
Okay, beautiful, fantastic. And you got your bodyguard there, Karen. Mum, how are you?
Yeah, good, good.
Fantastic. So you accepted the award for your lovely daughter. Look, a deadly story. They say that it's not what happens to you in life, it's how you respond to it. Jade, congratulations. You went through, got your degree after a horrific car accident. And you collected the trophy, is that right, Karen?
Sorry?
You collected the award for her?
No. Jade, with the assistance of her sisters,
okay,
last Tuesday week,
okay,
Struggled but managed to walk across the stage with the two girls holding her either side. She collected her award herself.
Tears of triumph, I'm thinking, and joy.
Oh God!
Yeah. So, Jade, what did you study, Dale?
Occupational therapy.
Occupation therapy. Well, fantastic. Congratulations. And how many years was that?
Four
years. See, you are qualified, sister.
That's true.
Represent.
Yeah.
That means you work in that industry, and if you weren't working there before, you're working there qualified now. It means more money at the table. Too deadly. You shout, lunch.
That's true.
So, Jade, thank you so very much. So, 4 years. Karen, tell us the journey in regard to after the horrific car accident and still focused to complete her studies and done so.
Well, we've been living quite a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah.
Jade, a horrendous car accident in April last year.
Yes.
And she'd just completed her uni degree. Got a job as a community occupational therapist.
Yes.
And was driving between home visits, lost control of the car in the wet.
Yeah.
And the car was crumpled on three sides.
Whoa.
Jade then was in a coma for 4 months, and we didn't even know if she'd wake up.
And here
but
she
we'd
is.
We'd go and see her every day. And
here she is. It's not her time. It's not her time. She's still with us.
No.
Yeah, beautiful.
No, she's worked really hard. So Jade works really, really hard every day.
That's fantastic. Look, it's it just shows you that, like I said, it's not what happens to you in life, how you respond to it. And that in itself, Jade, you are an inspiration. to people across the globe, of course. Standing strong, sister, standing strong.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Fantastic.
Jade has an Instagram page. It's all one word, Journey of Jade.
Journey of Jade.
And there's quite some graphic photos on there that really shows her journey and how hard she's worked, you know.
But like I said, it just shows the power and the fight and the focus to complete and live life. That in itself is inspiration.
That's true.
Mm. And what did you study? Come again?
I do. I studied OT, occupational therapy.
Occupational therapy. Fantastic. So occupational therapy, that's the award you receive, special graduation ceremony organised by ACU School of Allied Health and the Jimbiara Indigenous Health, Indigenous Higher Education Unit. So it's a team effort. Great to have First Nation people at the table.
It is really cool.
Yeah, fantastic. So are you working now full time?
No. What's your full time job? Getting better.
Getting better. Yes.
Job is my therapy.
Yes, fantastic.
But well, what are you doing?
I have 22 therapies a week.
Oh, okay, rightio.
Yeah.
Too deadly. Okay, fantastic. So you, Jade lives at home with you, Karen?
Yeah, so Jade lives at home with us.
Okay.
It was completely independent, working. Jade's now complete full nursing care.
Okay.
Jade can't walk. She's in a wheelchair.
Okay.
but every single day she gets stronger and stronger. Yes. So we've gone from Jade not being able to use, just not even being able to hold her head up.
Okay.
That was all she could do, to now being able to use her arms, use her legs.
Good.
She can thrust. She went to the gym.
Too deadly. Working out. Working out.
Yeah. They put 20 kilos on her tummy and she lifted that and they said, oh, no, that's too easy, mate.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, 40 kilos.
Well, how deadly are you, Jade? Well, you be careful, Karen. She'd be taking your car, bringing back no fuel in it soon.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's the goal. Oh, that's fantastic, Jade. Congratulations. Karen, thank you for the yarn. Too deadly. And like I said, inspiration to everybody out there. They say you're lucky, but the harder you work, the luckier you become.
That's true.
And you're doing just that. Jade, nice talking to you. Thank you for the congratulations. A big shout out to ACU and also to Jimbiara Indigenous Higher Education Unit. It is a team effort. Karen, congratulations. You and your deadly family supporting this beautiful girl. And we need more black successes, not only on the football field.
Yep. And she is an inspiration. She's amazing.
She is. Karen, you know how to breed them. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, Jade. All the best, girls.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there, yarning with Jade McLear, her name is. A young First Nations student graduated from ACU as Bachelor of Occupational Therapy and received her award. She was in a coma following a horrific car accident when her distraught parents, Karen and Zach, received a degree on her behalf. And she's now graduated and now working and getting better, being strong, too deadly. And have your say, your mob. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. A big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service, and First Nation Radio Station across the deadly country of ours, Deadly Black Network, and here with National Talk Black, BBM 98.7 FM.